Great. Well, I always love this moment in our service because we get to hear God's word. And I believe every single time, whoever we are, whether this be your first time or your 500th time in church or 5,000th time in church, I believe God can speak to each and every one of us, wherever we find ourselves. And if we'll open our hearts to God's word, that it will speak to us. You know, the Bible tells us that the word of God is a sure foundation and that it's something that we can build our life upon. And so I believe today that we can all grab a hold of something that God says to us and we can build our life upon it. So I want to start just reading 8 verses to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 12 and go to verse 20. And it says this, and this is a guy called the Apostle Paul who's writing to a church in a place called Corinth. And he's writing to the church around the title kind of this section in my Bible says, Paul's Change of Plans. How many of us know plans change and things change in our lives? Well, it says this. My Bible just went pink from the glow of the lights. Then I was like, oh my word. I tell you what, it makes my highlights stand out anyway. It says this. Now, this is our boast. Actually, I'll read it. I'll read it from the screen because I know I've got an older version. And some people say, what Bible version you got? And it's just because I've got an older Bible because I like my older Bible. But let me read it from the screen for you. It says this. Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. That could be a word for someone, not relying on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand, and I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. Paul's already been, he wanted to go again and so that they could benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. What was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. Yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We ask you to speak to us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message for all of those taking notes that want to enter heaven. 65% of people who take notes actually do make it to heaven. Don't know if you know that. That's a made-up statistic by myself. Title is Yes, Now What? Yes, Now What? That word yes is really powerful. That word yes can unlock potential. That word yes has the power to change somebody's life. A yes changed my life. That moment was the moment I proposed to Debbie. That changed my life. Let me tell you the story. We were going to a nice hotel, and at that moment, I was playing for Stocksbridge Park Steels with a certain somebody that everyone knows about. And if you don't know about that certain somebody, come and ask me afterwards. Surely I will tell you who I played with at Stocksbridge Park Steels, but I won't mention his name. But We were meant to go on the M1 South and Stocksbridge's M1 North, and we have a campus in Stocksbridge now, which is really cool. So we go to the motorway, and I'm on like autopilot because I'm kind of stressing about what I'm about to do. I'm about to propose to Debbie, and I'm stressing, and so I'm just on autopilot, and I end up going north on the M1. This is on the day, and then the panic sets in. Will we miss our dinner reservation? Will we miss this? Just one moment of decision, one moment of things changing can all of a sudden begin to spiral things out of context. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, this is not the perfect night to be proposing to Debbie. And all of these thoughts are going through my head. Anyway, I get off the M1, then enter the M1 again. Going south, we make it for our dinner reservation. We have an amazing dinner. I take Debbie for a walk in the gardens. I stand behind her and say, is that the swimming pool over there? Is that the roof of the swimming pool over there of the hotel? And as she does that, I get down on one knee and I ask her to marry me, and she just cries. She did just cry. I don't know if she said yes. Because she just cried. I mean, 15 years married now, I'm hoping she did say yes. Otherwise, she's just kind of like followed me around for the last 15 or so years. But that yes unlocked something. That yes unlocked potential. That yes means there are three boys now terrorizing our goo team. That yes had power in it. Our yes unlocks potential. Our yes has power. You know, Proverbs tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Our yes can be one of the most life-giving words. It brought life to my life. Our yes can do that. It can be one of the most life-giving words. Yes gives permission. Yes can be seen as like a contract or a covenant. It confirms allegiance and alignment. It confirms and affirms. It's the language. I want to proclaim today that yes is the language of bold faith. That yes is the language of bold faith, and yes can set us apart from the crowd, and it can communicate conviction even in the midst of intimidation. Jesus was given many names across the Bible, and he's given many names so that we can articulate him better. We maybe have even sung some of these names in lyrics as we've worshipped. We've sung or we've even declared that he's a savior, he's a redeemer, he's the Holy One. The Bible tells us he's the Prince of Peace. You need peace today. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lamb of God. That doesn't mean he's literally a lamb, but he was the lamb that was sacrificed for each and every one of us. He was the Lamb of God. He's the King of Kings. One of the others is he's the Amen of Heaven. He's the Amen of Heaven. Why is he the Amen of Heaven? Because this was Jesus's response to God's redemptive plan for all humanity. That Jesus's response to dying on the cross was, yes, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done in this situation. Jesus's yes to this is the Amen of Heaven. And so we all get an opportunity today to respond to his will and his purpose for our lives. We all have an opportunity to respond to the purpose that is from God. Let me remind us today that God has a purpose for your life. He has a will for your life, that today, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, God has a purpose for your life. That even if it feels like I'm in a valley, and you need to go back and watch Jeannie's message from last week around hope and valleys, because that was a powerful word for us. But it might feel like I'm in a valley. God has a purpose for your life. It might feel like I'm on the mountaintop. God has a purpose for your life. It might feel like I'm climbing a mountain. God has a purpose for your life. He has a will for your life. Each and every single one of us. And God's will is active. It's at work right now. All of us, I think if we were to take a poll in this place, all of us would want God's will to be done in our lives. That if we would say, what's God's purpose for my life, that we'd all want his will and his purpose to be done in our lives. But here's the thing, God does not force his will upon us. He is not going to force his will upon us. So for his will to be done, it requires our yes. For his will to be done, it requires our yes. To see his will outwork in our life, it requires our yes. As I was thinking about it, I was asking myself the question, so what holds me back from saying yes to the will of God? What's the number one thing that in my life that holds me back from saying yes to the will of God? Well, I think we hold back because maybe we're unsure of what we're saying yes to. We're unsure of what that purpose is. We're unsure of what that will is. We're unsure of what God has. And maybe for many of us, you're willing and ready to say yes to God, yes to his will, if he'll just reveal it. Have you been in that situation where you're like, you're just asking God, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it that you have for my life? What is the future? And you're ready to say yes, but it's like, I cannot see it. I don't know what I'm saying yes to. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I wish God would just show me. I wish he'd just turn up and he'd put on our big screen here, my will for my life. What it looks like. What is it that I need to say yes to? What is it that I need to say yes to? Because I'm ready, but what is it, God? I don't know. I don't think Debbie knew what she was. I'm hoping she said yes, but I don't think she knew what she was fully saying yes to when she said yes to me. I definitely didn't know what I was saying yes to. But I'm so glad. I shouldn't have paused then, should I? But I'm so glad I did. But I couldn't see everything. I couldn't see everything in front of me. I didn't know what that life would look like. I didn't know what that purpose would look like. And so I wonder today if we could take a look at how we begin to know and live in God's will for our lives. That today we could say yes to the will of God, to what God has for our lives. Back to our verses that we read, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and he's kind of arguing because he's changed his plans. I said it at the start, plans do change, and he's arguing with them around this. He's had to make a pivot. He's changed his plans. He made plans. They knew about his plans. He told them about his plans. He says, I'm going to come and visit you. And now his plans have changed. How many of us know that plans can change in an instance, in a moment? No matter what's going on, plans can change. And so I was asking myself the question, so why were they so upset at Paul because he just changed his plans? Why were they so upset that Paul had changed his plans in that moment? You see, the book of Hebrews tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need a little bit of context because in those days, there were certain gods that people would worship or certain gods that people would look up to. And the gods of that day weren't the same yesterday, today, and forever. They were ever changing. They were always changing. But our God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means his character doesn't change. That means he loved you yesterday, he loves you today, and he'll love you tomorrow. He does not change. That God actually is for you yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And so the communication is that God is not fickle, but he's stable. That he's unchanging, he's steadfast, and that's the perspective that actually they needed to grab a hold of. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9 tells us this, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations, to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But here's the thing, Paul isn't just following his plans, he's following the Holy Spirit's plans. And though God is ever changing, never changing, sorry, our plans can change. That God doesn't change, but as we begin to walk, our plans can begin to change and pivot. And Paul is explaining, we're in a partnership with God. We're in a partnership with God. We make plans. We make plans to the best of our ability. We make plans. We make plans for our future. We make plans for our weeks. We make plans for our days. We make plans to the best of our ability. You see, Paul had a calling, and it was a clear calling by God. He was called to bring this message of Jesus to the Gentiles. And so Paul made plans. Have you ever looked at the maps in the back of your Bible? Just me? No? Have you seen the map of Paul's ministry journey? Have you seen how clever it is? That when you see, when you begin to look at it, you go, oh yeah, yeah, I can see that makes sense to make that journey round back to the start. You see it, I think that in the back of my Bible, there's like three ministry journeys that it shows me, and it shows those journeys, and you can see how Paul has begun to plot his plan of taking this message to the Gentiles. He's on a missionary journey. He's made plans. God's called him to bring this message. Paul's planned. I think some of us, we've been called by God, but we've not made a plan. Maybe today is the start of, I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to begin to say yes to the calling of God. But either by circumstance or by the Holy Spirit, Paul in this moment is having to change his plans. He's pivoting his plans. There's another instance, actually, it's found in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. And says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Can you see that? Paul had made a plan, but it's the Holy Spirit who's guiding him. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Can you see it? Paul had a plan, a whole thing planned out, but the Holy Spirit changes it. That he has this vision from God. There's this man of Macedonia, and he has this vision from God. But did you see they made plans concluding that it was God? That actually they made plans, and they realized this was from God, a decision to start moving because, do you know what? I think this is from God. I think this is what God has for us. Let me say it like this. You can write this down if you take notes. It's easier to see the will of God in the rearview mirror of life. It's easier to look back on your life and see God's will. It's easier to look back on your life and see where God was at work. It's easier to look back and see God moving. But I would argue today that it's not as easy to see it in the windscreen of life. That as we're going forward, it's not as easy. And so the Corinthians, Paul's due to come to them, and they're mad. They're upset. They're accusing him of being fickle, saying his yes actually means no. They're accusing him of not doing what he said he would do. And like, as I was thinking about this, I'd be like, but surely I want the apostle. This guy is a man of God. Surely I want him to hear from the Holy Spirit. If I got up today and said, the Holy Spirit's told me to do this, I don't think we would argue in our day. Because like it's like, yeah, he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Some people in some form, you know, in sometimes use that as an easy way out. Because how do I argue with the Holy Spirit? How do I, you know, like God's told me. Sometimes it was just the late night pizza last night. But God's told me, and we use that as an easy way out, and we begin to do that. But here, I don't think the problem for them was that he was being led by the Holy Spirit. I think it posed a problem for them. How is anyone meant to know God's will if it keeps changing? How is anyone meant to walk in the purposes of God if it just keeps changing? Like, I'm part of this church. I want to know what God's will is for my life, and it keeps changing. And the Corinthians are confronted with it. Why? Because we're instructed to know and understand God's will. We're instructed to know and understand what God's will is for our life. Colossians 1 and verse 9 says this: "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says this: "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." So how are we meant to know and put faith in God's will if your plans seem to change all the time? God's unchanging. How am I meant to do it if it just changes all the time? How am I meant to know his will if it's subject to change? And I think it comes in the beginning bit where we're often waiting for God to reveal his will and then we say yes. What if it's more about giving God something to work his will through? That can be the first observation for us today. Give God something to work his will through. Give God something to work his will through. We can be on pause. We can be waiting. We can be waiting for God to reveal. But I think it's more about us giving God something to work his will through. That as Jesus prayed, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that his will can come about as we give God something to work his will through. Just after me and Debbie got married, we got asked by our lead pastors to take on our youth ministry. Gavin and Jane had led it for 124 years. And I was a youth in their youth ministry. You did all right, Gav, I think. And good job. But we got asked to do it. And my dad, our lead pastor Paul, tells the story. It was a clear calling in a service like this, in a conference, where a speaker got up who wasn't due to speak. And he just said this phrase, and it's the phrase that we've hung on to, and it's the phrase that we've begun to grab a hold of and see incredible things happen through our youth ministry. And it's this: what the UK needs is not more youth clubs, but more youth ministries. And so straight away, as Paul tells the story, he kind of knew exactly what to do. He's got to sack Gavin Jane. Which is difficult because they're like best friends. And they're not best friends anymore. They don't talk to each other. They're sat on the front row, like virtually next to each other. There's a few people between them just in case they start fighting. But anyway. And they knew that it was me and Debbie to lead it, which is even more difficult because this is like, I'm his son. And it's like, that can sometimes be seen as like, oh, I'm just giving it my son. But we got asked and we just said yes. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, when we started, I just said to Debbie, we just got to be one step ahead of the young people. Like, let's just be one step, because then they can take that step, and then we've got to go another step, and another step, and it was yes, and it was just like, let's read books, and let's find things out, and how does this happen? And it was just a case of just giving God something to work with. God, if this is your purpose, we've seen hundreds of young people make decisions, we've seen young people, people who are leading us in worship today in our campus here in Chesterfield make decisions in our youth ministry. not because of the brilliance of me and Debbie, but because we just said, hey, God, here's something you can work your will through. Here's something we're going to give you. Here's something that you can work your will through. Now, I know what some people think. They think, yeah, that's great, because like that's like in a ministry kind of field. But let me tell you, we're sometimes waiting for the model marriage, but what if we just gave him what we'd got? You know, sometimes we're waiting for it to be perfect and then, oh, this can be God. No, what if I just like give him what I've got and say, God, would you work through our marriage? We're waiting for that exact career, that exact calling from God. But what if we just gave God our current job and said, God, would you work your will through this job right now? That actually we could see your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven through this job. Sometimes we're waiting for the ideal circumstances, the ideal moments. But what if today we just said, yes, now what? Yes, now what? Yes, now what? That we begin to work this out in our lives. Instead of responding with a yes, what if we begin to lead with a yes? That actually we give our yes. I love that passage that we read in Acts 16 where Paul's seen a vision from Macedonia and they decide to go there. They just say, yes, we believe this is from God. This is yes. Why? Because it's the decision to pursue God's will. And it's deciding today that maybe to pursue God's will precede knowing what God's will is. That today we'll see God's will in the rearview mirror of our lives, but we might not see it fully, or we might not understand it fully. Let me put it like this. God's so big that I think if he revealed his full will for our lives, we would be in utter shock and like we'd need hospital care. Because he's so big. Because his will's so big. That actually it's so great that we would go, yeah, but God, you know me. Because we see ourselves and we see our limitations. And many times we place them on God's will and God's purpose for our lives. But maybe he has more for us. And maybe today it's just giving God something to work his will through. And then secondly, we know as we go that we see his will and his purpose as we go. I said it just then, God's will is so big that if we fully knew it, I think we'd all be in a state of shock. But here's the thing that like has stopped me so many times because I've not seen God's will. It's actually having the courage to go. It's actually having the courage to take the step. It's actually having the courage to go, I'll go and I'll probably know it as I go. You know, there are so many things in life that many of us will have not done because it's like, is it really the right thing to do? I think God's so big that as we go and we give him something to work his will through, he can work it through it. That as we go, as we take steps, it can be little things. You know, I've been nervous at times to tell my friends that I'm praying for them. Those people who aren't in church, but even some people who are in church at times, you can be nervous, but like we would all know, that's God's will. But we can be nervous. We can see God's will in the background. There have been many times where I've held back and I've not done things and I've not said things and I've not even revealed my faith. Early days of playing football, I was quite quiet about my faith and church, but people began to know about church and my faith and didn't hide it, but didn't say much about it. But then I began to open up because I felt that this was, you know, well, this is something that I should do. I should be a witness to the world. And I began to open up and I just kept going. I didn't know what God's will for it was. I didn't know what impact it would have. You know, the amazing thing is I still get messages from friends that I talked to about church that I told I was praying with who I've not seen 5, 7 years will still message me, will you pray about this? And it's amazing that it just again reopens conversation again. That all came from a decision to just go, oh, I'll just go. You know, there's one moment, I was playing for Matlock Town and I was probably 19, 20 years old, maybe even a little bit older. I still think I'm 21, so. And I'm having a conversation about church with one of the guys at football, and he's saying, he's like asking me about church, and he's saying, like, do you have an organ? And I say, no, I used to play drums at that time in church. I play drums in church. He's like, shut up. You don't have drums in church. I said, I do. And I usually smash some cymbals and crack them every single week. And he's like, no, you don't. I say, we do. We have an electric guitar. And he's like, shut up. No, no. What does the lady think about who plays the organ? What does she think about that? I said, we haven't got an organ, mate. So what about the pews? I went, no, we've got comfy chairs in church. And, you know, just all of a sudden, he's got a filter of what church is. And it's, you know, it's kind of being rewritten in his mind, and you could see it through this conversation. You just couldn't believe it, that church was like this. And then there's another conversation going off in the background about the music that's being played, and everyone's slating the music in the dressing room. There's about 20 lads in the football dressing room, and mid-conversation with this guy, he pipes up and says, they're saying the music's rubbish, Nathan will play us some of his Come By Our music. So I said, I ain't got that song. And in my mind, I wanted to go, I ain't got any music. But, and I don't think I even thought this in the moment, but I just had a moment of courage to go. And so I went and I played him a song, and it was Break Free by Hillsong United. And I won't try and sing it for you, because otherwise we'll get taken down on YouTube for copyright issues, because it would be like perfect, pitch perfect, this moment. And I played it and the whole dressing room goes silent. And you can imagine the nervousness and the dread and the anxiousness in me, because I'm thinking, oh no. And football lads, banter flies around. I'm thinking, what am I going to get for this? Well, about what seemed like 6 minutes into the song, though the song's only about 3.5 minutes long, one of the guys pipes up about 30 seconds in and says, it's pretty good. It's like the stuff I listen to. And I was like, yes, good. Anyway, that ended the conversation. Music goes back on. Go out to play the game. We win the game. Footballers are really superstitious. After the game, I think it's because we played Nathan's song. Like, God's on our side. I'm like, hold on. So next game we turn up, and just before we're about to go out, we need to play Nathan's song. Before every game for the rest of that season, we had to play Break Free by Hillsong United. I'm like, there's other songs. They know, no, this is the song. This is the song. We'd lose the game and they'd say, what happened, Nathan? I'd say, you're not praying enough. But I can see in the background now God's will. I can see as I've gone, God's will being revealed in certain moments and his purpose being revealed. But I think sometimes we don't go, and then we don't see what God is doing because we cannot see it in the foreground. Because sometimes, like I was, we're nervous to say yes. We're going to say no until we're going to, I'll decide. Let me hear what your will is, God. I'll decide it then. I love these verses. We read Colossians 1 and verse 9, but it goes on in verse 10. It says this, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may have, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And this is what I want you to see, growing in the knowledge of God. I wonder actually whether there'd be a third point for us today. We know as we go, but we also know as we grow. We know as we grow into relationship with God, we know His will as we grow into that relationship with God. And what if today God's looking for obedience from a people who will say yes to Him, say yes, now what, God? You say yes, I'm going to move forward, now what? God, you have my yes, whatever comes next, whatever comes against me, God, you have my yes. And I believe we begin to see God's will play out in our lives like never before. It's so difficult to see God's will looking forward, but when we look back, we see His will at work. You see that He uses what seems bad and He can turn it for good. Even when you're in a valley season, He can turn it for good. You see how even in those moments, He used it to grow us, to develop our faith, to lead us closer to Him. I know that I've grown and been strengthened through moments of valleys and moments of heartache and moments where it looks like it doesn't seem like God's will is being outworked. But as I look back, I see that I've been strengthened through those moments. He causes us to grow, to rely on Him, and we become more grateful looking back. It was His will, and I'm so glad I said yes. But it has to start with a yes. It has to start with a yes. So what if it's less about waiting and more about giving God something to work His will through, knowing that we will see His will as we go? Team can come. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24. Why don't we stand as I read this, because I think this is powerful for us. Because as we say yes, and as we go, there's a promise for us. Because what if I take the wrong step? What if I go in the wrong direction? Well, Psalm 37, 23 to 24 tells us the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I want us to take a moment today to imagine, what does this look like in our lives? What does tomorrow look like as you give God something to work through? Does your attitude change? Does your perspective begin to shift on life? Are we less hesitant in our lives? And are we full of faith? Even though we're feeling the fear and anxiousness and nervousness, I'm going to walk in this. Why? Because God will direct my steps. God, even though I might stumble in a moment, you're not going to cause me to fall. And I'm not going to get so caught up on making the right decision, but I understand that I will know His will as I go and as I grow into all. So today our yes is powerful. Today your yes could unlock something in your life. It could unlock the potential that God has placed in your life. So come on, why don't we take a moment? As I pray, why don't you say, God, I'm saying yes today. God, I'm saying yes to whatever it is, whatever it looks like, whatever that will is. Lord, I thank you for every single person. And I pray right now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would be at work. Lord, that you would move. And today, as we walk forward and we say yes into all that you have for us, we declare that you will direct our steps. That even though there may be moments where we stumble, we will not fall, but that actually you hold us up by your hand. And so today we give our lives to you again, and we say yes to you. We say yes to your purposes. We say yes to your will. We say yes to all that you have for us, God. We say yes again, God, and we say yes that you are the King of Kings. We say yes that we will follow you into all that you have for us. We declare today that you are the yes of heaven, and we thank you for that. So we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, and all the church said, come on, let's seal that word and let's worship him right now.